everybody. Welcome to the Hallmarkies podcast. We're so excited today. We are here to talk about the fall harvest season coming before us in all of its confusion today. But it's very exciting. I'm Rachel and Caroline is here.
Hey.
Yes. And we have a very special guest to help us through this madness. It's very exciting. We have Brand from Deck the Hallmark is here.
Oh my goodness. What a collision of worlds, right?
I know. This is so exciting.
Good. So excited.
We feel like we have a Hallmark podcasting celebrity here with us. This is so cool.
Well, I would never say that. And it is very sweet for you to say that. But I feel like I am in the company of celebrities myself. So,
well, what a joy. This is fun because I thought, well, we could have all of the boys on, but we don't need that. We don't need Grumpy Dan to have
this. We don't need the negative energy.
No.
There's already, let's be honest. There's already enough negative energy right now at the fall harvest. We don't need any more.
That's right. And so I was like, let's just have Bran on. Let's give him the spotlight. He's the one who loves these movies. This is so exciting.
Yes, yes. And I will say, Dan's just misunderstood, you know? He's a very positive person, except when it comes to Hallmark movies. Yeah. So he wouldn't be helpful here, but he's helpful in every other area of life.
Very good. So I have to ask, we like to have people we interview introduce yourself, but also, so you started this podcast, and I figure you must be the nicest person in the world because I could barely get anybody in my family to watch any of these movies, let alone join me for a podcast. I did get my dad to come on one of the mystery recaps, which was very exciting.
Yeah.
I would never be able to get anybody in my life that doesn't like these movies to come on a podcast. So they must really like you.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. We worked at a school together, the three of us, that's how we met. And we just became really close friends and had a lot of fun with each other. Felt like we could riff really well, joke around and all that stuff. Uh-huh. And me and Panda, we both left the education world and kind of went our separate ways. And we still wanted to have a way to hang out and to have fun. And that got increasingly difficult once kids kind of got involved. Uh-huh. And so I had a kid and Dan had some foster kids that he's adopting and Panda was getting ready to have a kid. And so we're just trying to figure out how can we kind of do this thing. And so we've always kind of dabbled with the idea of a podcast and uh-huh. For some reason, this is the one that stuck. I told him, I maybe lied a little bit. I was like, hey, we should watch Hallmark Christmas movies. It's probably going to be like, you know, like 20 or something. like, okay, we can do that. And so we started last July just to kind of get a little bit of traction before the holiday season. Uh-huh. And then they announced there was going to be 34 and then 36 and 38. And you know how it goes. And so I think they still, like, they love me, but they also hate me. And so I've come to terms with that. They're still really great friends, though. So.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I can understand because – you know, I'm working at least to become a full-time film critic. That's my dream.
Yeah.
And I am on Rotten Tomatoes and I have my whole other, I love animation is my first love and I love Disney. And so I have my whole other channel with that and, you know, working to build my portfolio of reviews. And I would never have thought in a million years that it would be the Hallmark part of, which was just kind of a, I don't want to say guilty pleasure because I don't have any guilt in it, but it was more just sort of the silly thing that I liked that would be the one that would kind of take off.
Yeah, it is really funny. You know, one of the reasons we landed on the Hallmark thing, obviously I really do love them. It's not an act, but I knew that there was this like just crazed fan base around mm-hmm. it and there was no guys doing kind of the side of it. And I know that there are a handful of guys that watch them or they're either watching them willingly or ironically or upset with their wives or whatever. And so I knew there was a little bit of a base that wasn't tapped yet. And so we landed on it and we ran with it. And so it's worked out. And the Hallmark, the Hallmarkies, not the Hallmarkies podcast, but the Hallmarkies in general are just a rabid fan base. And it's just been such a blast to watch. I love watching them on Twitter and stuff like that. Talk about movies, and it's just, it's crazy. I've never seen anything like it in the TV movie world. It's wild.
Yeah, it's a really fun group. I mean, unless they're killing off their favorite characters, that was the only time that things got a little,
yeah, a little rough. We don't talk about that.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, Caroline.
Sore subject.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
They handled Bailey's exit better than Dan's exit. Yeah. That's all I have to say.
They even handled Lori Loughlin's exit
that's true. Listen,
she hasn't been killed off yet, but you just wait.
She just went to visit her mother.
Visit her mother, but she's never coming back.
Yeah, no, it's a long visit.
I know that we don't need to get into this, but I think that she will be back. That's my prediction.
To Win Calls the Heart.
Yeah, I do.
It's interesting because I know they have those friendships, and Hallmark is all about loyalty. So I could see it. But yeah. I think it'll be a little while.
I do think it'll be a little while.
So it depends how long the show goes.
Yeah, we'll see.
But anyway, so yeah, that's the only time the fans got a little, but for the most part, they are just so sweet and supportive. And we really try on our podcast to, my goal is to be to give objective analysis of each film or show that we watch. I don't want to be somebody that's just parroting the company line. I want to watch them and give critical analysis. That's my goal, is to give critical analysis, to bring critical analysis to the Hallmark discussion. But I also think that you have to accept something for what it's trying to be.
Totally.
And like, I'm not watching, and this is not an excuse, but I'm not watching these films the same way that I watch an Oscar bait movie. I'm watching these, just, does it fulfill the goal of escapism, female centric entertainment?
Yeah.
That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah. It's funny. We watched, for our Patreon community, we watched Falling in Love, the Netflix film. And it was, you know, a little bit of a higher quality, and there was something about that took it away from me. Like, I wasn't as into it. There's some, like, Hallmark has somehow found this amazing balance of storytelling and I can't even explain it. Storytelling, cheesiness, feels, they've made it all together in this, you know, $2 million budget movie.
Yeah.
And when you get above that with the quality, for somehow, and I can't explain it, but somehow it loses it for me. There's something about Hallmark and the way that they're made and the way that they tell a story that's perfect for what they do. And so they've got it. They figured it out.
Yeah. A lot of the times when I hear criticism of Hallmark movies, and I certainly give my fair share of criticism, but sometimes I feel like, you know, I feel like this person doesn't really understand what it is they're trying to do. Yeah. Like this is the equivalent of a Harlequin romance novel, squeaky clean. you know that there's a place for that, of something that's, because there's no, like, hardly any soap operas anymore. There's hardly anything that's like designed as romantic escapism for women. Even in the theaters, there's so few romantic comedies these days. There's so few, just something that's just pleasurable for women. And I think, you know, you can look at something that's designed to be sort of pleasurable for men. There's a million things like that, but something like Fast and the Furious, let's just say, those movies are so stupid, but they're so fun.
Yeah.
They're just like full of masculine energy, and that's fine and that's good, but I think we also need it in the feminine side too.
Yeah, totally.
So that's what I think. And then when you add Christmas to the mix, it's just,
oh, forget about it.
Hello.
Perfect.
Yeah. So anyway, well, that's really great. Do you have, I know you've talked about, or we've talked about online, that the Christmas Choir is one of your all-time favorites.
It is, actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's so good.
It's a movie that I somehow didn't see until I think like 2 years ago. Uh-huh. And it was one of those ones that was playing in the middle of the night as they do with their older movies. Uh-huh. And I was like, this movie is a jam. I'm loving it.
It's really good.
Yeah.
I think you guys should do that one.
Okay.
I mean, I'd be nervous about what Dan would think, but I feel like that one's solid. It hardly has any romance at all. And it's just this sweet story.
Yeah, it is a sweet story.
True story about this, you know, this bad man of business becoming reformed and starting this choir. It's so I'd be curious to know what he thinks. But
me too.
Have you seen that one, Caroline?
I have, and it's really good.
Yeah, right? It's so good. Yeah. I feel like I tend to like the older Hallmark movies a little bit better. Maybe that's just because I have nostalgia. But I really love Trading Christmas. I love the Christmas choir. I really like, you know, some of those old.
Yeah, I'm interested, like, you know, and I felt like the slate last year was worse than the slate before that. And I'm not sure how much of that has to do with the number of movies that they're putting out and the how they're losing time with each movie and the amount of time and focus they're able to put on it. Yeah. And so I'll be interested. I'm also nervous about the amount of sequels we have this holiday season. Like, I'm not a huge fan of the sequels. I found like the Father Christmas trilogy excruciating.
Caroline loves those.
someone loves them because they kept making them. But yeah, I just worry. Like,
you're welcome.
The story of a girl and guy falling in love, like, that's, I don't need to know what happens after that. So, you know.
Yeah, that's true. The sequels are very dodgy in the world of Hallmark. At least most of the sequels, I think, in Christmas, except for maybe Gift to Remember 2, which I trust Topher Payne because he's a great writer. But most of the sequels are more sort of spin-off-y.
Like
Christmas in Evergreen 3 is just in the same town.
Right. Which, I mean, who doesn't love Evergreen? So I'm down for that.
I know. And and then the sequel to Christmas in Angel Falls is, I just actually just talked to the author before this, is going to be totally different characters except for Beau Bridges.
Okay.
So that's basically like a spin-off. And then I feel like there's another one that I'm not remembering.
Great. Oh, Christmas Graceland.
Yeah, Christmas at Graceland too has totally different characters.
And it does. You are right. Thank you.
So that hopefully, because that's the way romance novels are. When you read a romance novel series, usually it's like the Cowboy Trilogy or like the JL Ranch, you know, and like each one will be about a different ranch person.
Yeah.
And usually like the original people will be just sort of minor characters in the second one. So so I'm glad they're they're involving that a little bit, but I hope that it's a better slate than last year. I will agree with you there.
Amen.
So, but let's talk a little bit about this crazy fall harvest season. So they announce five movies, including The Good Witch. And then, so I set up all my interviews and everything going on. And then all of a sudden they say, we're cutting two of the movies. And, which I had interviews for. And
when you say they said they're cutting two of the movies, you mean they cut two of the movies and didn't tell us.
That's right. Yeah.
They're not happening.
Yeah. All of a sudden they're just gone. It's bizarre. And then they're moving up, they're airing two episodes of When Hope Calls instead, I guess. But so this has to be very bad news for When Hope Calls, first of all. Would you agree, Caroline?
Yeah, when I first saw that, I'm like, uh-oh, not good.
Yeah.
But they took away my two favorite movies, and I'm upset.
I am too. A lot of people are, especially because Jesse Schramm, who I've interviewed, and I'm just sitting on this interview, which is really good, and Niall Mader are pretty popular people. Like, to cut that movie seemed very surprising to me.
I was too.
I just don't understand why they cut them. Like, they have other days right. of the week.
Yeah.
Fall is like kind of a real season that right. that continues. Like, I don't, like, it's such an odd, why not do a back-to-back air when Hope calls before Love yeah. Under the Altar or whatever.
That would, like, only yeah. help when Hope calls. If totally. if you had a Niall Mader movie and everybody was watching it, and then.
Yeah.
It's so bizarre. Yeah. So I was like, what do we do for this preview? I don't know, but I just decided to just preview them all. They'll air them sometime and we'll just whatever. I don't know. That's what I decided to do. So let's get at it. So
hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pie: People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
The first one we're going to talk about is Over the Moon in Love. So this movie stars Jessica Lowndes, Hall Star, and Wes Brown, who's very dreamy. Mm-hmm. and it's directed by Christy Wheel Wolf, who's done some of our favorites that we really enjoy her. And it's actually written by Jessica Lowndes.
Wow, I didn't know that until right now as yeah. I'm looking at it. Wow.
So that's pretty exciting. And it's the little plot is, with her matchmaking business on the verge of closing, Brooklyn finds herself in the unique position to be featured in a magazine, but has to set up the writer with her childhood friend, Devin, before doing so. So that's the summary. And I guess she actually also is going to be singing in it. There's her own singing. So what are your thoughts about this one? We'll give it how many Leafs out of 5 is our preview. So Caroline, how many Leafs out of 5 do you think this is, are your preview expectations?
3.5 Leafs. Okay. Because I love Jessica and I love Wes, but like original songs make me nervous. so that's the only reason it's 3.5.
What do you think, Brent?
Okay. 2.5. And okay. Let me explain. I love Wes Brown. Uh-huh. I am not a big Jessica fan, and I'm sorry. And I've heard her sing, also not a fan. I'm going to watch it. I love Wes Brown. He can carry things. I feel like he's had to carry a lot lately, but he can carry some things. And so I still think I'm going to end up liking it, but I'm just a little bit nervy about the whole music thing.
Yeah. I mean, I'm curious to see what Jessica comes up with. I do tend to like her a little bit better as the BFF or as the bad girl. I think that she's a fun bad girl. But yeah, we'll see. And Wes Brown is super dreamy. It sounds a little boring to me.
Yeah.
The plot. So, so I'm going to give it 3 Leafs out of 5. All right. So we'll see. Okay. Next, we have the other one that is going to be released for sure. We know is Love, Fall, and Order. So this movie, I do have a special connection to because our very good friends over at the Bubbly Sesh are in this movie. You knew that, right?
I did know it. Yeah.
Yes. And so I love Erin Cahill, who's the lead of this movie. I just think she is just so warm and so lovely. And I really enjoyed Last Vermont Christmas. I'm like the only person.
Yeah, you are the only person. Yeah.
I really liked it because I have I have a bunch of sisters. And so I just connected with the like sibling dynamic in it. Sure. I thought it was funny. The whole like fool the inspector and made me laugh. And so I enjoyed it. And I really like her. And they pulled off the Bubbly Sesh Girls, a really fun little thing because we'd been talking back and forth and cause it was filmed here in Utah, this movie.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And so I was like, we should meet for dinner. We should talk. It'd be great. And so we were planning it and Erin was like always with them somehow when they were talking to me. So I was like, tell her I liked Last Vermont Christmas. You know? and so when we're eating dinner, me and the Bubbly Sesh girls, Shawl and Jax, so Shawl keeps looking at her phone and she's like, yeah, you know how it is with these interviews, like setting up an interview. It's just so hard. I'm like, yeah, I know. They can be real divas, these people. And then Shawl, Jax showed me this little video she had of Erin saying, hey, Rachel, you know, so great that you like Last Vermont Christmas and thanks for supporting, whatever. And so I was like, oh, that's so nice. And while I'm watching the video, in walks Erin Cahill into the restaurant. Yeah.
I would
what
die.
A day.
Yeah, it was such, they did a great job.
Those girls.
Yes. Very well done. It was such a fun surprise. And I very rarely had anybody, I feel like I'm usually the one orchestrating that kind of thing, not having anybody think about doing something like that for me. So I was really touched and it was really fun. And
well, I have Erin on the line. Not really. I'm sorry. I don't have it.
So I do have some personal, I'm rooting for this movie on a personal level because of that experience. Anyway, so this stars Erin Cahill and Trevor Donovan, and it's directed by Claire Nieder-Poom, which I love the fact that Hallmark's getting these female directors. It's amazing. But I want to like her because she's local. Uh-huh. But I really, really disliked her version of Little Women that she made last year that was released theatrically. I really was not a fan. And her recent Hallmark movie, In the Key of Love, was the one that got bumped. And it wasn't great. So I'm a little nervous about her being director. Mm-hmm.
That's fair.
But... And the writer is brand new. She only has one other credit to her resume. So.
Oh, good for her.
Yeah. So yeah, it could be awesome. But you can't sort of count on it on that level, if that makes sense. But the little summary, it just says, when Claire goes home to save her dad's annual fall festival on her family's pumpkin farm, sparks fly with an old rival, the opposing lawyer she now faces in court. So that sounds fun.
Yes.
and Trevor Donovan, he's done some fun stuff. So, and it will be fun to see Shawl and Jax and, you know, probably a small role, but it'll be fun. So Caroline, how many leaves would you give this one?
Mm-hmm. I'm going to give it 4.
Okay.
I'm excited. I like Erin and I like Trevor and I'm excited for Jax and Saul. So that's why it's a 4.
Yeah. What do you think, Brian?
Yeah, I'm anticipating good things. It's a fall fest movie. I mean, come on. There's a pumpkin farm. Lots of fall words in the synopsis, which I'm excited about. The name is awful, but in like the best way. Love, Fall, and Order. Come on. The Bubbly Sesh. Come on. So I'm excited about it. I'm gonna also give it I'll give it 4 out of 5 as well.
I think I'll do the same. I hate the poster. The poster is the worst, but
I want to meet the person that does the Hallmark Channel posters. Their job is the best.
I know. It's true. We need to interview them.
Yeah.
If you're listening, person who does posters, call
us. Unsung heroes.
So, okay, well, good. All right. So then there's the one of the canceled ones is Love Under the Olive Tree. And this stars Ben Hollingsworth, who is, this is his first Hallmark movie since 2015. So that's kind of exciting. And then Sean Roberts, who hasn't done one since 2016. And he's in one of my favorite of all time called Recipe for Love. Mm-hmm. So dreamy. I love that movie. And then Tori Anderson, who was in Return to Christmas Creek, which was not my favorite last year.
I like that one.
Yeah.
It wasn't my favorite either.
Yeah. Give me Return to Christmas Creek over Last Vermont Christmas any day.
How dare you? No. Yeah. So this is director Peter DeLuise, who's a legend in Hallmark. He's done some great ones. And this writer, Samantha Herman, who I got to interview, and she did Mingle All the Way and Small Town Christmas last year.
Oh, two of my faves.
Yeah, right? So it has
Can't wait to watch this movie.
It's a lot going for it. And so the summary is, the prize of Sunset Valley's annual olive oil contest is a land parcel with disputed ownership. With feisty Nicole and competitive Jake face off, they never expect sparks to fly.
They never do.
Yeah. And basically, I think this is kind of like a similar to Autumn in the Vineyard, with mm-hmm. these sort of warring families, and then the kids end up sort of Romeo and Juliet kind of romance story. And so it sounds pretty fun to me. What do you think, Caroline?
I'm excited about it. Like Peter DeLuise, like you said, and all the people working on it, it looks really cute. And I'm really sad that it's not going to be airing on TV as of yet. And I'm going to give it a 4.5.
Yeah. I agree with you. I'm giving it a 4.5. I think I think it sounds fun. Oh, I mean, why not? And I feel like it's an underdog at this point.
Yeah, it's an underdog. Here's the thing going against it for me. I fall asleep just reading Olive Oil Contest. So I'm a little bit nervous about that. But everything else sounds great. It's a 3.5 for Brand.
Okay, good. Very good. Okay, last one is Country at Heart. And this stars Jesse Schramm, Niall Mader, and Lucas Bryant. And directed by Bradley Walsh, who has done a number of Hallmark movies, and written by Rick Garman, who's like a writing legend in Hallmark. So that's exciting. And it's a struggling country singer meets a Nashville songwriter in need of inspiration. Teaming up to write a song, their work gets complicated, but results in both a hit song and true love. And so Jessie has singing experience. She was actually on the show Nashville
yes.
for multiple years. Mm-hmm. But Niall Mader does not. But according to Jessie in my interview, they took to it pretty quickly. And he like learned to play the guitar for the role and really worked at it. And then Lucas Bryant, who plays like the more seasoned, I think the more seasoned performer, is also had to learn how to like the guitar, I guess, for the role. But I love Jessie. I think she's great. And I don't know. I like country music, so I'm hopeful about this one. I'm going to give it 3.5 Leafs.
Ooh.
Yeah. What do you think, Fran?
Okay. This has a few things going against it. I'm not a big country music fan. Mm-hmm. When I see Niall, I just think about the Father Christmas trilogy and I get a little upset about it.
Yeah.
But I do love a good song. I love a good songwriting movie. So I'm going to give it a 4.
A 4.
I'll get over it and I'll end up liking it. And I listen to a country music movie without Kelly Pickler, so it's an A-OK for Brand.
What about you, Caroline?
Just like I love Niall, so 4.5. Just the 0.5 is for Niall alone.
You know what, Bran? The one that might win you over to Niall Mader is last year on Lifetime, Christmas Pen Pals.
That was so good.
Christmas Pen Pals.
Christmas Pen Pals.
All right. Okay.
It was really good. So last, this is just going to be Carolyn and I are going to be talking a little bit about the Good Witch, Curse from a Rose.
How good is this witch?
So she is, she's more, they call it intuitive charms is basically, she's like never a, it's more like a, I don't know, how do you describe it? She's almost more like a special, a charmed yoga teacher.
Now, if I liked Sabrina the Teenage Witch, would I like this show?
I think so. It's okay. Kind of like a,
yes.
It's like a charming version of the Gilmore Girls, kind of. Like as far as stars.
A charming version of Gilmore. I thought Gilmore Girls was charming.
Well, Lorelai is not all that charming. Let's be real.
I love Lorelai. And
the mother-daughter relationship on The Good Witch is better than Lorelai and Rory.
Okay, hold on. So you guys are both saying that Good Witch is a better television program.
Hold on. I didn't say that. I said that it's a more charming as far as like pleasant, sweet, a sweeter version of Gilmore.
Caroline, what are you saying?
The first part of the series, like seasons 1 through 4, I wouldn't say it's better than the Gilmore Girls, but the last 2 seasons, I would say yes.
Wow.
If that makes any sense.
It makes sense. I don't think I'm going to sit through 4 subpar Gilmore Girls seasons to get to the final 2. I'm going to take your word for it.
I do not think that the dialogue is not close. The dialogue in Gilmore Girls is one of the best.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
And but as far as if you just want to watch something that has a similar vibe to it, as far as the Stars Hollow, that's the town of Middleton with sort of the nosy neighbor, I mean the nosy mayor, everybody getting each other's business, and you have a mother and a daughter who are have various conflict, and it has enough similarities to make the comparison.
Okay.
But I don't know. But anyway, it's definitely without a doubt my favorite show on Hallmark, because I just think it's it's the funniest, it's the wittiest, it's not boring, and it doesn't make me want to pull my hair out like Chesapeake Shores. That's so true. But anyway, so that's just it. But
okay, all right.
Yeah. So depends on what you're looking for. This movie, though, Cassie, this is a long summary, but I'm just going to try to cover it really quick. So Cassie receives an unexpected visit from her college roommate, Autumn Devereaux, which I swear she has a billion college roommates.
Yeah.
Like, how many people have we known over the years that this is her friend from college? It's hilarious.
That's funny.
Yeah. Who harbors resentment toward Cassie over a past event. Cassie relies on magical instincts. See, that's what it basically is. It's not like magic, like a broom or anything. To help Autumn through her unresolved feelings before she sabotages Middleton's celebration. Martha plans a bonfire to honor the season and tries to ignore her husband's failure to recognize the anniversary of their engagement on Halloween night. Martha is the mayor, and played by Catherine Disher, and she's hilarious.
Okay.
So, let's see. Bad luck seems to thwart Sam's attempt to plan a romantic Halloween for Cassie, since it's their first as a married couple.
I love a good romantic Halloween.
Yeah. How can you not? I mean, come on. Despite the arrival of a mysterious good luck charm, and there's more good luck charms and magic curses and stones and... Well,
girls, you are not selling me this show very well. I hate to break the scene.
In Middleton, it's quite the town. But Donovan makes a wager with Abigail over the Halloween-themed triathlon he is racing against Sam, with the winner earning the rights to decide the couple's Halloween plans. Stephanie and Adam rally the town to break a pumpkin carving record held by Blairsville, which is the town that they hate, a rival.
Yeah.
meanwhile, George and Nick search for Middleton's mythical sea monster as the bonfire near.
What? Wait, whoa, what?
Yeah, yeah. That's Grandpa and Nick. Search for Middleton's mythical sea monster as the bonfire nears. Cassie works her magic to help Autumn overcome the past and take control of her.
This does sound better than Gilmore Girls.
I'm never going to live that down. It's not better than Gilmore Girls. Same vibe. Listen,
that synopsis was long enough. I feel like I've seen it. I'm good.
Okay, Caroline, how many leaves would you give this? Are you excited?
Five. I'm excited. Yeah. The one leaf is because it's all my birthday.
Oh, so, right. Yes.
There you go.
Happy early.
Happy birthday.
Yeah.
So I will also.
Oh, thank you.
I will also give it five because the idea of Mayor Martha planning a bonfire and being mad at her husband, that sounds hilarious. And a lot of these other things sound completely bonkers. So I'm in. And
I'm giving it five leaves for the sea monster.
Yes.
Yes.
So good.
I'm in.
There you go.
Okay. Well, real quick before we go. So we have. Coming up as far as the mysteries, how do you feel on the mysteries, Bran? Are you a fan or not?
I'm new to the mystery world, so up until I think I watched my first mystery in January of this year for the pod. And so I haven't seen all the series. I like them. It's tricky. I feel like they are very oftentimes a little convoluted.
Yeah.
And not to its benefit in any way. Lots of red herrings. I don't know. I like them, but not nearly as much as I like love Hallmark Christmas movies. Yeah. But yeah. I dig them.
Okay. So we have coming up, we have four different series.
Yes. I've seen two of them. Two of them I have not.
So there's Mystery 101. There's yes. two of these. One of them just aired. And then but I love the name of this one. Mystery 101 Dead Talk instead of TED Talk.
That was perfect.
I want to give it five crowns just for that. Mm-hmm. And then Crossword Mysteries. There's two. Posing Murder and Abracadaver.
It's great.
Abracadaver. And then there's a new Ruby Herring mystery, Her Last Breath. And I want to give that one a good score just because I think Stephen Huszar is one of those handsome men to ever exist. And then The Matchmaker Mysteries with Danica McKellar.
Okay.
Yeah. So out of these, which of these franchises are you most looking forward to out of the four?
Okay. I love Chris. And I like Chris and Jill together. But I think I am most excited about Abracadaver.
Yeah,
The name is great, but also we talked to Brennan and he talked this one up pretty good. And so because of that, I'm gonna be in on the Abracadaver.
Very good. Okay. What about you, Caroline? Which one are you most interested in?
I'm excited to see Danica's Matchmaker one just because I wouldn't have picked her as a mystery person.
Is this her first one?
Yeah. So I'm excited to see her play in a mystery role.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be really interesting because Danica McKellar seems, her roles, she usually is such a gentle spirit. So I'm like, I don't know what's going to happen. She's a dead body. She's going to be traumatized for a year. What's going to happen? But yeah, so I just love Dead Talk so much. Mm-hmm. Mystery 101 Dead Talk. And I do love, we kind of joke on the podcast that Jill Wagner's my cousin.
Okay.
Because we both have the same last name.
Yes. Why not?
So, so I have to go with my cousins.
Help the fam.
So it's very exciting.
You gotta love the cuss.
Yes. And so last thing I just wanted to profile because it looked really fun to me is on our crossing to the other network, to Lifetime, they have a movie coming out on the 19th called Patsy and Loretta. And this is about the early careers of Patsy Cline and Loretta Lynn. And it stars Megan Hilty, who's a Broadway vet, as Patsy Cline, and Jesse Mueller as Loretta Lynn. And Bran, you watched this little trailer. What'd you think?
Yeah, I don't have a lot of experience with Lifetime. My Lifetime experience goes as far as Lifetime in Court. and so that's about all I got.
Yeah.
But this movie looks really good. I'm pretty in on it, and I might just watch it just because. Mm-hmm. I think it looks like a good quality. So I'm in. Patsy mm-hmm. and Loretta, I'm in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was really impressed too. And they did a really good one on Olivia Newton-John. Earlier in the year, because sometimes their bios can be not so great. They had a terrible one on Whitney Houston, a terrible one on Britney mm-hmm. Spears. So they have some awful ones. But occasionally they have good ones too. And I thought this looked pretty good, and I like Megan Hilty a lot. And so I don't know, did you get to see it, Caroline?
I did, and I can't wait. I grew up listening to country music, like 80s country music, and I'm really excited to watch it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll cross over to Lifetime for it.
Okay, good. That's very good. All right.
We'll forgive you.
Yeah. So I will give it 5 leaves. I'm very excited about it.
I'll give 5.
Yeah.
I'll give it 5 acoustic guitars.
Oh.
Very good. All right. Well, thanks so much. This was so much fun.
Yes.
And so let us know in the comment section or on Twitter, let us know how many leaves you would give these. And if you're really annoyed about the cancellations, let's talk about it.
You know what? I think this is the right time for us to take to social media and tell Hallmark Channel enough is enough with the scheduling thing.
Yes.
We have had it. So listen, in a very nice way, tell them that if they don't bring these other movies back, we will not watch anymore.
We will riot.
Yes.
Well, riot.
Boycott.
We will take to the streets.
Yeah.
It'll be the 3 of us.
Against the world.
Very good. Yes. We have connections at this point. It's very exciting.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Brian, for coming on. This was a blast. It was really fun to get to know you better and talk about these silly movies.
Totally. Thanks so much for having me. And I give the Hallmarkies podcast 5 leaves.
Yay. Aww. Thank you. Right back at you.
Thanks.
So how can people follow your podcast and you guys on social media, all that fun stuff?
Yeah, you can find us at deckthehallmark.com. We'll have links to all the ways that you can listen, iTunes, Spotify, all that good stuff. And you can find us on the social media at Hallmark Podcast.
Great. And Caroline, how can people follow you?
On Twitter, it's at @MitaCarolineR.
Great. And you can follow me at Rachel's Reviews, all of our social media, iTunes and YouTube, and on Rotten Tomatoes. So be sure to check that out. And follow the podcast at Hallmarkies Pod all over the place. And so we really appreciate your feedback. And thanks again, you guys. And we'll have to talk again soon.
Love it.
Bye.
Bye.